Becky, do you want to start with roll call?
Okay, West Salem Redevelopment Advisory Board, December 2nd, 2020. Jeff Miller?
Here.
Brandon Fullman is excused. Kathy Goss? Not present. John Hannum?
Here.
Tyler Jackson?
Here.
Mark May?
Here.
Samantha Ross?
Here.
Brittany Davidson?
Here.
Quicksand? Chris Wilhelm? Is present. Okay, I couldn't hear you. And Michael Ryan. Present.
Thank you. It looks like we have one new member. Is that correct, Tori? Aaron
Kimsey is not a member. He's with Public Works. He's going to be on later to talk about the library.
Perfect. Thank you.
It's hard to recognize what computer. I haven't seen Aaron in a while.
I think you guys need to have a City of Salem logo in the background. I don't know.
Yeah.
That would be a good idea. Yeah. Look at my hard hat.
Yeah, that's true. These days.
Well, thank you everyone for jumping on the call this morning. Any approval, additions, deletions from the agenda? Has everyone had an opportunity to look it over? No one has anything? Okay, great. Has everyone had a chance to read the minutes? If so,
move we accept the agenda as submitted.
Second. Any discussion? Perfect. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? No. Great. Moving forward. Approval of the minutes.
As presented.
As presented.
Second.
Tyler seconds. Thank you very much. Any discussion? No discussion. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Perfect. Moving forward. As usual, no action items. So that's a nice thing. We can move forward. Looks like we can kind of have a light agenda today, so maybe we'll be out of here a little bit early. With that said, I've already spoken with Mark. I do have a conflicting appointment at 8:30 that I will have to jump off the call whether we are done or not. So I apologize, but I think we could be done by then anyway. So that said, moving into the discussion with Tori and the City Library Project. Tori, would you mind taking off? And Aaron, yeah.
So I was just going to take the time to introduce Aaron Kimsey. He's an engineer with Public Works. I've worked with Aaron on a lot of different projects. Fortunately, I haven't been tied to the library project, so this is going to be an update to me as well. You can see a lot of the work being done as you go by, so just introduce Aaron Kimsey with Public Works to share the latest.
Great. Thanks, Tori. So am I it for the agenda?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I do have a lot of slides. I don't need to share all of them. I wasn't sure how much you guys wanted to see and how far back you wanted me to go. So I put together this quick deck, and we can go through them as quickly or slowly as you want. And please, you know, if you have questions along the way, interrupt me and ask questions if you want. So it'll just be a little casual. First things first, let's see if I can share my screen. That was the trickiest part. Okay, hopefully you can see that.
Yep, good.
Great, all right, getting better at this. Okay, so as Troy said, my name is Aaron Kimsey, project manager for the library project. I've been with the city for, gosh, going on 19 years, so it's been a long time, and I've been on a lot of great projects, including this one. So it's just great to be a part of the city and be a part of these projects that come to my desk and I get to share with you guys on these experiences. So as you may recall, the voters approved a bond, a library seismic safety upgrade bond in 2000, I believe it was 2018. May have that date incorrect. It's actually, I can't remember, but it seems like a long time ago. Anyway, we wanted to do this project through a different delivery method. So we chose design build. And typically on a city project, we will do, we'll hire a designer. They'll put together a bid package with all the improvements. We go out to bid, we get a contractor, and we go out and build the project. That's really standard for most of our projects. It's really effective and makes a lot of sense for things like street improvements, water utility improvements, that kind of thing. With a building project such as this, there's a lot of complications that can go into, especially a remodel. There's MEP, mechanical, electrical, plumbing. It's an existing building, so there's a lot of unknowns. It was built in 1972, so the as-builts that we have aren't always completely accurate. And so there's just a lot of unknowns along the way. In addition to that, we had a set amount of money that we could spend with the bond that was approved. You could only go up to a certain amount. And so the fear of designing and bidding and building is you get
to your
bid.
Question.
Yeah.
What was the bond amount? What was your guys's?
It was 18.9 million, roughly, around there. So we had that cap that we had to, that we couldn't go over. So if you go out to bid, you have no idea what that's going to come back, and you could get really good bids, and or it could go the other way, and then you could be in trouble. So the design build method is kind of it's actually called progressive design build, and it's a really cool concept. Basically, right at the beginning of the project, you go out and you advertise your project, and you hire a contractor who teams up with a designer. And they are, they're kind of a team, and they come to you and they say, hey, we can build this project for this amount of money. And what that allows us to do is have continual conversations with the contractor during the design, so that he can chime in and say, hey, we can't do that for this amount of money. And we can start looking at some value engineering and how can we move things and change things so that we can afford the project at the end. And they're constantly working with the designer because they're teamed up together to make those changes along the way. And so what it's done is actually allowed us to deliver this project, so much so actually, and I'll go into this a little bit later, we are actually have been able to add some things to the project that we didn't think we could afford initially because the project has gone so well. We've gotten past some of these risks and unknowns that we thought we might get into, we didn't discover. And so that's allowed us to make some of those changes, mid-project and say, okay, let's go ahead and add this back in. And it's things that we kind of thought we might be able to do, we hoped we could do, and so the designer brought them up to a point, and then we've kind of stuck a pin in it and said, well, this would be a great thing if we could do it, but we probably can't. Now, where we are, we're saying, hey, let's go back and actually add those into the project. So it's really allowed us to do even more than we expected. So it's been really cool. So the very, very front, at the beginning of the project, we wanted to develop a vision statement. And I got to move people because I can't see the screen. There we go. So we really wanted to create a space that was welcoming and safe and flexible. That was one of the keywords, is flexible and collaborative. We wanted a space that could evolve through time into the future with technology constantly changing, how people use libraries is changing, and so we wanted to kind of make that part of this project. Now, let's see if I can get it out of the screen. There we go. So kind of further developing those, that vision statement was these values. We wanted something that was cohesive. We wanted something that was qualitative, that was bright, clean, and warm at the same time, something that was welcoming and that would connect to the community. Obviously, there's a lot of culture here in the library. There's some art and just the existing architecture. It's kind of a really cool building. We wanted to honor that and not just go completely away from it. And then performance was a key value we wanted to as well, that just that the that we could create an efficient organization and provide flexibility. So just real briefly, initially this was, these were kind of the project scope items that we wanted to address with this project. So it wasn't just about seismic and structural upgrades, even though that was like the key component. There was also some safety upgrades and just a lot of mechanical, electrical, plumbing, the MEP pieces that haven't really even been touched. Most of them since they were constructed in 72. So a lot of really aging components of the building that needed to be improved. So the walkways around, new bathrooms weren't to code anymore, door hardware, stair railings weren't to code anymore. The roof was in pretty poor shape, being the original roof. And the system upgrades here at the bottom here. We also wanted to do some interior upgrades just to kind of give the auger a fresh new look. We wanted folks to, you know, the seismic upgrades is quite honestly not really that sexy when it comes to people coming into a building and seeing a concrete shear wall. It's like, oh, okay, that's what $18 million got us. It's really important and it needs to be done, but it's not something that's just kind of an eye opener, like, oh, wow, that's cool. So we wanted, you know, new carpet, new shelving, new paint, new furniture, that kind of stuff. So to really improve the space. We're replacing all the lighting to LED lighting, and we've actually been able to go after some incentives for that. And then program changes. The library, as it existed, while it worked well, there was definitely room for improvement. So we brought in an expert that could really lay out the programs and the spaces to figure out how we can better perform for the library users. So this is kind of just a quick overview of what the idea was. So the library is three floors, and it used to be 1, 2, 3. Now we're calling this first floor the plaza level, because a lot of people walk in from the garage, and they don't really realize that they're actually on the second floor. If you're not familiar with the library, you would think that was the first floor. So we are changing the naming system so that this first floor, which is primarily going to be a staff floor, there will remain some conference rooms down there for the public to use, but primarily it's going to be a staff floor. This second floor, which is now the first floor, is primarily the adult collection, and then the third floor, which is now will be called the second floor, is basically the entire area is for just for kids and teens. I think this next one shows that. Yeah. So we got the collaboration, meeting space, adult collections, and then teen and children. So previous to this project, if you've been in the library, you may recall that the teen section was actually on the plaza level, and the youth section was on the third floor, which is now the second floor. And so we had a lot of outreach, and we heard from families that had potentially, you know, teenagers and young kids. They didn't feel comfortable with sending their teenagers to the depths of the library while being with their younger children at the top floor. And so we wanted to kind of bring them back up and provide them their own space that they could you know, go and enjoy. And so it really creates a nice progression. You can start off on the children's area, where it is today. It'll remain. And then as you grow through the library, you'll end up in the teen section and then downstairs, obviously. This is just a slide that shows some history. So if you've been here long enough, I haven't, but you know, the building was built in 72, and this dark area is what represents the original construction. And then in the 90s, we added on the library. We created the Logs Auditorium and this new entry with the parking garage over here. And so that created a much larger library and new space. And so that's just a quick history on that. So this is architecture rendering of the existing library, and so the one thing I'll just note real quickly is that there's a lot of trees that aren't shown here, and we're not cutting these trees down. This is just kind of a simplification of what the library looks like. Concrete actually is a lot darker than what they're showing here as well. It's just they didn't have that, you know, they didn't have a 50-year filter on their program to show all the darkness the concrete has made over the years. This bay window was a 90s expansion. It was originally a straight face building in 72, and they added this bay window in this entry in the 90s. And so with our project, we're actually going back to the original, trying to go back to the original straight face building to embrace that original architecture. And what you're seeing here is one of five shear walls that are going on to the exterior of the building. Actually, there's three exterior and two internal, five total. And this, if you've driven by the library anytime in the last few weeks or even a month or so, you've seen these. This is the plaza level, or the plaza side. We have one on the Commercial Street side and one on Liberty Street side as well. And they have been recently stained this kind of dark black color. And so this right here, this element is really what, like I said, one of five is what comprises the structural upgrade, the seismic upgrade for this building. And we were able to, through the design build method, really able to look at a lot of different options, what was cost effective. The original design had something much more complicated and much more expensive, and we came to this solution, and it really worked out really well because it was cost effective, and it didn't create any issues internally. So we were initially afraid we'd have these giant walls in the middle of the library where it would just totally disrupt the views and the programming and how the library works. So we were able to basically push all these to the outside. Here is the view on Liberty Street side. So this one is up. What you're seeing here is just a rendering of a cable system that runs up vertically with a trellising plant that will climb that cable over the years. And there's a big oak tree right here that's not shown for simplicity as well.
Aaron?
Yeah?
I'm not totally familiar with how earthquake rebuilds go in these complexes. Is it the idea that these walls that are putting in are going to be like the new supports for the roof and stuff like that, or the floors, or that you have to have these now to have them comply?
Yeah. So, and I'm not a structural engineer, so I don't know the complete minutia of how this system works. But basically, this library, in any earthquake, the building's going to want to shake, right? And so without these walls, prior to our construction, there's not very much support laterally. There's a lot of the columns interior that go up, but there's nothing that supports it this way. It's a really heavy building because of all the concrete. And so when it's going to move, it's just going to collapse on itself. And so these five shear walls, the three that I've just shown you and the two that are interior, basically allow it restricts the movement laterally. And so there's not going to be that big shake on the building. So it does support the roof, but really the structural calculations didn't show that the roof needed that much support. It was more that we needed to stop that lateral movement back and forth.
Stop the domino effect.
Yeah, so these walls need to be moving.
Cool.
I mean, it's designed to move a little bit, but just enough so that it doesn't tip over. Does that help?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. This is the Commercial Street view. Again, this is a little bit a little bit different view, because this actually, this grade goes down, and this is a loading dock, which you don't really see from Commercial Street, because there's a berm there. One thing I'll note in my later slides is, right now, these three bay windows are actually not there. Part of the existing structure is concrete, and so if you recall, on the inside, there's kind of a niche inside there with some wood, and I think they had books or a place that you could sit. And so with this improvement, we're knocking that concrete down and adding windows to create that connectivity to the outside. So when you drive by, you can actually see people and vice versa. We wanted to kind of create that connectiveness to the outdoor world, the landscape outside, and also create some intrigue from folks that are on the outside of the library looking in. So here's actually an example of that. So this is the existing building. So obviously it's not quite this, because this represents some new paint and new carpet and new furniture. But what I really kind of wanted to point to you is here's the niches back here. So this is kind of an existing state of these niches. And there's an existing staircase that runs down this way. So as part of this project, we thought we could paint it, we could carpet it. One of the things we wanted to do was expose the waffle slab. So this existing construction, they use this waffle slab. It looks like a waffle. It was a structural design, and it looks really cool, but it's been covered up for years. We had a drop ceiling in there, and so you couldn't see it. So the architects right away said, hey, we want to expose that and create that intrigue and kind of honor the architectural design, and so we're dropping that out and we're exposing that. The library foundation was really instrumental to this project as well, because they wanted to help support this project as well. And so we came to them and said, hey, we can do this amount of work, but it would be really great if we could do some of these extra things, some of these programming things. And they said, hey, we would love to support you guys. We're gonna donate some money. And so some of the things I'm about to show you are a direct result of their generous donation. So these niches back here, these are things that we couldn't afford originally, and we thought they'd be really cool and really neat. The staircase here is not ideal. It interrupts the sight lines for the librarians. It's kind of a big monstrosity of a staircase that comes down and interrupts the ability to have additional shelving. And so we said, let's get rid of it. And so with their generous donation, we were able to open up these with windows and create more natural light and get that in there. And we got rid of the staircase. Now we're going to have a kind of a floating staircase that comes down to the right here. I'll have another picture that shows that. This wall over here is one of the interior shear walls. And this wall actually is going to become the public art wall. So with a project like this, with public dollars, we need to put money towards public art. And so similar to the police project, they have their art outside. Ours is going to be a lot less money, because it's not as expensive a project, but it's going to be an internal art project. This is just an example. It's not what it's going to be. We hired an artist, and she's working on her design right now. So we'll unveil that at the time of the opening. But that's the location of the public art that she's working on.
Aaron,
yes.
With removing the drop-down ceiling, did you gain some height to it?
Yeah, absolutely, we did. We definitely gained some height, probably about 3 feet.
Wow.
And surprisingly, you know, one of the concerns was what's up there, and it's actually really clean. There's not a lot of mechanical and plumbing up there. There's the fire lines, and that's about it. So.
Is it going to affect noise?
A little bit, but not very much. We have a sound engineer that looked at that, and that was one of the concerns was, is it going to be just super loud? And because of the distance, it's not really going to add a lot of noise. Over here in the teen section, if you can kind of see that, we are, because that's a shorter distance to that waffle slab, we're putting in an insert, like a soundboard insert into each of these boxes that will capture that sound and make it better.
Are you trying to say the teens are loud?
So another thing with libraries these days is the librarian really wanted, Sarah Strahl wanted, it used to be the notion of the library was, don't talk, the reading.
Yeah.
But that's not what the library is today. That's kind of the old library. And so the new library is a space for meeting and gathering. And it's also for reading and researching and that kind of thing, but it's more than that. And so we're trying to create spaces, for lack of a better term, on like, this is kind of a, or maybe it's zones. We have a kind of a more social zone here, and for these here. We have, I think, 5 study rooms of various sizes. So that's something that's going to be really cool too, because we kind of lacked that in the previous library.
What is the average time that people stay in the library right now? Is it, was that?
That's a good question, and it's something that I don't think I have a true answer for, but we have been talking about parking over in the parking garage, and right now it's metered and you have to pay for it. I think we're going to be going towards a free model for a limited time, and I think we're landing on 3 hours. So I think there's that thought of you can come in, you can, some people come in and get a book and leave, and then like moms or dads or parents or whatever, they can come in, and there could be a children's program where they might want to stay longer. And so we kind of thought that 3-hour time frame gives those that want to come and stay and do work or do a program can be there for that length of time. So, but there's no sign.
What about the walk-in crowd that walks up into it? I mean, there's probably some metrics on how long they stay in a library, or
they're probably. I don't have those. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I think there's, like I said, some come in and check a book or have a cook a hold and then are out the door. This is just another viewpoint of kind of the same picture. You can see more of the staircase coming down in the background. This is a before picture with the staircase and then the wood back here, and then the same view without that. So you can see it just really opens up the space. Here's another improvement that this kind of went along with the stair at its base. So this viewpoint is the staircase up to the floor, which is now confused folks. But with the added staircase that's kind of behind this viewpoint, this staircase became redundant. We didn't really need it. So part of the thought was, okay, if we add that staircase, let's get rid of this staircase. And then we can infill this area up here and create more square footage for books and seating area on that third floor. So it kind of looks like this. So we still have the staircase going down to the plaza level, but we don't have the staircase going up anymore. And so this
is the... there's only one staircase then going up to the top floor?
Yep. Well, no, that's not true. There's two. There's the one when you...
Oh, right by the front.
Right by the front. That one is still there, that goes directly up to the kids area. And then this one will go up to the teen area. So this is a viewpoint on the third floor or second floor where the teen, we're calling the teen scene. And this shows the existing staircase that was there. And this is a representative picture with the new move. So another space for books, like I said, teen area. There's another viewpoint. It just, the staircases where they are just didn't fit. It was really confusing. And so this improvement allows for a lot better use of the library space. The teen scene is back here. they're going to have, this would be a window closed off area. They're going to have their space. I don't have any renderings of that, but just a kind of a cool hangout for them with TVs and video games and booths. As they have their own study room that they could use, and so they have their own kind of hangout space. And all the books back here are TV books, so they have a much larger collection space than they had previously.
As a city building, that I would imagine the library gets most of the city's use. I mean, you get more people going to it than
right.
Probably any other city building.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Is there going to be a launch for this, or is there going to be a big to do about it?
Well, it's a good question. I hope so. The timeline. So we started construction in early 2020, and the timeline is to be complete by summer of 2021. So we're just around the corner from being complete, maybe like the June, July timeframe. And it would be great to have a big grand opening and celebrate this new space. I think a lot of that is going to be dependent on COVID and where we are with those types of restrictions. Hopefully we're working on vaccines by then. It's kind of a work in progress as far as how we're going to roll this out. And got to move everything back in, obviously, from the Broadway location and all the books that are in storage. So that'll take some time. But hopefully we can celebrate appropriately.
With the expansion of this, are you going to close the other ones?
So Broadway, where we are currently, is just a temporary location that will go away. The West Salem location will stay intact as is. So we wanted to make sure that we, ideally we would have more satellites besides the West Salem satellite. Like, there's a desire to get into other parts of the city, but that wasn't in the cards for this project. This is another improvement that was funded by the foundation. This is an existing, quasi-existing rendering of this triangular-shaped room, which was added on in the 90s as part of the 90s improvement, and it's where the discovery room is. So if you've had kids or have kids, you go up there and there's that little space up there that's always changing into something new for the kids to interact with. We didn't like this because when you walk in from the main entry, it creates that lower ceiling for a lot longer than it was intended as part of the original design. This wasn't here part of the 72 construction, and so we wanted to remove that and bring back again, honor the 72 design. But what that meant was we needed to move the discovery rooms. Where would we put that? So what we did is we opened it up, got rid of that room, and so you can see it just totally opens things up. It really provides a more good view. Here's what it looked like when you walked in the lane. So that low ceiling kind of carries you into the space. Now you see this, and so it's just much more open, much more inviting space. There's another viewpoint from the teen area up on the third floor, looking over there, and now it looks like this. So quite a big change. I got a lot of viewpoints in this one.
It's amazing.
Over there, and then kind of opens up. So really cool. So this is it from the children's area. This is kind of what it looked like before. You have this triangular shaped room. We got rid of it. We're moving the discovery room back here, back. So I'll go to the next shot. So the kids and the adults that are up here have a really cool view looking down. This is going to be a floor to ceiling. A window that they can kind of interact with and be part of, be connected with the main library. Discovery room back here. Another before picture, and then after. I think I have another one. Okay, this is the inside of the discovery, and then it's kind of in the discovery room, which is now just going to be a window looking down. So it's really neat when you're down here and you look up, you can see into the children's area and vice versa. So it's just more connectivity to everyone.
With the openness of all the spaces, is there going to be a closed off area for the kids that are us able to be quiet?
The only closed up spaces are the discovery room, and then we still have story rooms upstairs. There's two story rooms up there that they use for reading time and for a whole list of things. So that they do have, if they're going to be loud, I guess there's a space for that. But where we in the main area is just kind of a place to hang out. So this is one of the last, I think I'm getting close to the end here. The front entry, nobody that I've talked to, including council members, was a big fan of the front entry, the existing front entry. That tunnel, dark, gloomy, it's just an odd entry. It's not very inviting. And it was something we didn't think we could afford. It was like, yeah, that's a long shot. We can't even go there. And the foundation really, out of all the improvements I just showed you that they helped fund, they really wanted to do something here to the front entry. And we were like, I don't think we could do it. And they didn't have enough money to just pay for it all. So we stuck a pin in it and we moved on. And up until just recently, actually, in the last couple of weeks, it was looking like we might be able to actually fund an improvement here. We got past all the high risk, got out of the ground with our footings and foundations for the shear walls. We didn't find any archaeological finds, which is a concern. And so we had a pretty healthy contingency pot that was kind of sitting there for those unknowns that didn't get used. And so we went back to the designer and the contractor and said, hey, let's flesh this out a little bit and see, are there improvements we can do here that we can afford? And the answer is yes. So we had some money identified that we wanted to use from the city project. The contractor actually had some surplus, but allowances that they didn't spend also, that they were able to give back to the city. And then the foundation generously again came to the plate and said, hey, we would love to help fund this portion of the project. And so so we're able to do this. We've added it into the contract and they'll be working on this front entry. So this rendering is not the final rendering. It's actually going to be modified slightly, but the main goal is removing the tunnel, creating kind of a more of a plaza entry where people can meet, gather, and hey, meet me at the library in front of the big tree out front. And it also ties in the Laux area better. Right now it kind of feels like they're two different spaces, which they are, but you know, they're all part of the library. And so this allows for that, you know, again, for that connectivity, that, you know, just hang out here. I got multiple shots of this. There's another tree right here that's not showing. So this will look back. Here's a look from inside the children's space. Look from the top. That's it. Yeah. So I guess the other thing I wanted to point out is we're replacing all the windows on this project as well. So the original 1972 windows have a tint to them, just a tint, and it doesn't allow as much light in. And it can kind of be dark, and so we're replacing that all with like a clear window, which some of them have already gone up, and it's just amazing how much more light is let in, and it looks much nicer with these new windows. So and as part of the project, I think I mentioned we're going to get a whole new roof. So the 1990s roof on the Laux and the expansion is already in good shape. It's a great roof. It's got many years to last on it. But the original 72 roof is in poor shape, so that's going to be completely redone and overhauled. So that is the end of my presentation and those slides. Any questions or
is the concrete going to be refinished
on the outside?
Yeah.
Yeah. No. I think they have an allowance to power wash it, try to clean it up a little bit. But no no paint or anything like that on the existing structure.
Okay. Any enhancements to Lux?
Yeah, actually there are some enhancements. Mostly the structural improvements were pretty minor. There was a need to do something structurally, nothing major. One thing that we're doing with this project as well, actually the library, the audio and video, audio-visual components of the library were not part of the bond improvement. They weren't eligible for, per the bond definition, they weren't allowed to be part of it. So the library has come up with some funding to fix all the audio and video components of the library. So the LAUX is going to be getting a major overhaul in those system components. And then the PA system for the entire library is getting overhauled as well. So some of those kind of ancillary things that are really important to having programs and being able to communicate within the library are going to be fixed as well. And one last thing that I didn't even talk about is parking garage. It kind of gets forgotten about because it's a parking garage, but it did receive some of the similar structural upgrades that the library had. And so it's basically got sheer walls just like the library does, and all that work is going to be complete with this project as well.
Aaron, thanks for joining us. I have a quick question. You had mentioned the bond of 18 plus minus million. I can't recall the exact number. I was trying to look it up here, but regardless, you had also mentioned that there was the foundation threw some dollars into it. Do you have a total budget number, including the foundation numbers for the project?
Yeah, I do. And actually, it's more than 18. So the foundation, when all said and done, has donated about $625,000.
Okay.
Towards the project. And then when we sold our bond to get the money, we actually I think got a pretty good deal, similar to the police station. You can get a bond premium for that sell, and I don't know banking and how all this works, but we basically got a premium of an additional $1 million to add to the bond. So we actually had 19.6 instead of 18.6 for the bond sell. And so together with that, with the foundation, we're sitting right around 20 million on the total project.
Gotcha. Thank you. Any other questions for Aaron?
For if there's more like management and questions for like librarian and stuff like that, for any planning and all that stuff, where do we go to get that information for the next?
So, I mean, do you have like specific questions on how the library will operate, or?
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, I would talk to Sarah Strahl, and I would go straight to the librarian. I think you can find her email address, or maybe Tori can send it to you. I think it's sstrahl@csalem.net.
Thank you.
I would ping her with any questions you have about the library.
Great.
Yeah. Tori, I'm sorry, just shifting gears. There was two names that popped in. Looks like a communication back and forth. Did you notice that, or is that just on my screen?
Oh, I think that's Aaron. He's sharing his screen, so he probably got a message.
Somebody was messaging me. Yeah.
Gotcha.
It's one of those, when you're presenting, it's like, oh, that's coming up. That's visible.
Perfect.
Yeah. Anything else?
Doesn't look like it. Aaron, thank you very much for joining.
Thanks, Aaron.
Thank you,
Aaron. Absolutely.
What the project is, yeah.
Super exciting.
So we're moving along, making great progress, and
Are you on schedule?
Yes, we are. We are on schedule, so things are looking good. And that's been with COVID, we didn't know where things were gonna land. Would we have to be shut down? Would we have material issues getting, you know, this across the country, shipping things has become really difficult. But we've been able to order things because of the design build method. We've been able to order things early that have long lead times and get them. And kind of keep track of those issues. And so far, we haven't had any issues with COVID. We had one crew, the roofing crew, had a positive test, and because they were isolated on the roof, it didn't really impact the rest of the project. So they went home for a couple weeks, came back, and no other positives on the site, so they kept moving. Hardest Right, from the very beginning, has been really aware of COVID. We have a mask requirement on the project since March, 100% of the time on the project, always wear a mask. We do temperature readings before anybody enters the site and have a questionnaire of, you know, any symptoms, that kind of thing. So they took it very seriously back in March before a lot of folks were. And all of the subs and all of the suppliers have bought into that culture, which has been really great. And I think that's a testament to Howard Ashray and managing their team. And as a result, it's allowed us to go kind of full steam ahead and be on track. So it's been good.
How's that progressive design build style? Is it something that the city has liked so far and wants to use those more than the bid to purchase kind of?
Yeah, it's definitely something that we are using more. It has a time and a place, like I said. For the simpler projects, it doesn't really make sense. You can go out and design something like a road or a utility project with not a lot of risk, and you kind of know what it's going to be, what it's going to bid for. But for these complicated projects, we're definitely looking at it more. The police station did a similar, they did a CMGC method, which is a little bit, it's kind of a nuance. You hire a designer and then you wait like 3 months and then you hire a contractor. And so you force that marriage, if you will. It works well, but yeah. Personally, I like the design build where they go out and they find that perfect couple for the project. And then if they have issues, then you say, hey, you guys picked each other. That's your problem.
That's your relationship.
Yeah. So there's an improvement happening out of operations. There's a new complex that's going to be built as part of the operations complex, and we actually are using the progressive design build on that also. I think we might be using the same team as on the library. I haven't got confirmation on that, but we might be having the same team. So the continuity will just kind of continue on, which would be great.
And Aaron, perhaps I missed it. What's the ETA for the to finish this thing up and wrap it up?
July 2021.
Okay.
That's our goal. We should be done for sure with the project by end of May, early June, and then it's just going to be how long it takes to get all the books back on the shelves. So when you can imagine when you're packing up the books, it's kind of like take them off the shelves, put them in a box, and send them away. The move back in is much more difficult because you got to actually put the books in the right spot. You can't just throw them on the shelves.
Is it still in a Dewey Decimal System style, or?
You're asking an engineer library question.
Yeah.
I think there is some Dewey Decimal System still in place, but they also have another system that they use. And I can't remember the name of it, but yeah.
Aaron, thank you very much for your time.
Yeah. Thank you, guys.
It was nice to see the renderings. Thank you.
Great. All right. See you guys later.
Thanks, Aaron.
Bye.
Have a great day. Yeah, and actually, with that, Mark and Tori, I'm going to have to jump off here for this 8:30 that I can't avoid. I apologize. I hope everyone has a great day. There still should be a quorum. With seven, what is it, 2, 4, 6, 7, so we still have quorum at that point. Shouldn't disrupt anything there. So thank you, everyone. Have a great day.
Thanks, Jen.
All right, Tori, I'm pulling up the agenda.
Yeah, the next items are, so I'll just add on to what Aaron said. So given the library topic, I wanted to follow up with the West Salem Library. So I talked to Sarah Strahl. And with COVID, West Salem Library has been closed, but they have dedicated staff to, there's been a lot of virtual need. So cloud library, canopy, movies, different things. So they've been doing a lot to support the community through streaming. So, you know, that's helpful for members of the community that have access to the internet. You know, I know for a lot of, you know, lower income folks, they'll use the computers, the internet at the library. So that's one of those things that's missed. So I'll have to talk to her a little bit more about that, how, you know, those needs are being met. But there has been a bit of a shift there as far as, you know, you can't, I was curious because I knew they closed in springtime with, you know, as COVID was ramping up. But I assumed in the summertime, maybe they were trying to monitor it, keep the population low and spacing and all that. And I think they felt with the limited staff and the closed space that it was just too much to risk. So it's been closed. I'm not sure. You know, it'll probably be after the spikes that we're going through now when they'll actually talk about opening. So I didn't get an indication of that. But they're trying to do what they can through virtual resources. So just update on West Salem Library.
Thank you for that. So next up on the agenda, Edgewater Partnership, West Salem Business Association, West Salem Neighborhood Association. I don't have any updates on any of those items. Anyone in attendance have updates?
West Salem Business Association, we're having our board meeting tomorrow at Red Hawk Winery, and we're going to be talking about the decorations. And again, Salem Electric kind of puts those on. So those should be going up and then probably in the next, I would say, couple weeks. I think there's some repairs that need to happen on some of the decorations. So we'll be working on that. What's that?
Can you zoom into that as well, or is it just in person, that meeting?
Oh, it's in person, the board meeting. Gotcha, yeah. 3 o'clock at Red Hawk for tomorrow.
You are having Zoom meetings. Was that your first Zoom meeting that you had as a business association group, or had you had other ones before that, the last months?
The general, we've had them consistently every month with the exception of a couple. But yeah, we have the Zoom. So everyone, if they're a member of West Salem Business Association, should be getting an email with a link. So if you're not, let me know.
Very good.
That's all I have.
Thank you. Any other updates on any of the items in B there of the associations?
Neighborhood Association, I was not in attendance. And no, I don't have any other updates.
Okay.
Thank you, Mark.
So with that, we are off into January meeting topics. Corey, you have comments on that?
Well, we had talked, given the timeliness of the Our Salem, the comprehensive plan, in the previous meeting for October, or actually for November, the group had mentioned wanting to revisit. So I could see about having Eunice come back. So it's either having Eunice come back and report on, you know, if anything changed since we saw her last, or just an internal discussion. So yeah, it'll be January 6th, so it's not too close to the 1st, so we can have the meeting. But that was what I noted from the previous meeting, is that the group, given the movement of the comprehensive plan and the timing, since February is where they're wanting to kind of conclude the phase and report back to council on it, gave you guys another opportunity to revisit some of those topics.
So. Sure. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Any of the other members have items they'd like to see added to a January agenda?
Tori, do you know anything about like a recreational plan for West Salem at all, for utilization in the waterfront district? Or?
Sure. I can check as far as Wellspring Park type of recreation?
Yeah, I mean, so just, you know, things for enhancing the relationship of West Salem to the city and, you know, all that stuff. I Yeah. Is there a recreation plan for our area at all, or like for?
I can check. I know that Walls Marine Park, for example, is used to, you know, for the baseball resources and things like that, for different softball groups, soccer, things like that. I'd have to check to see if there's, because I know like Riverfront Park, they have their for City of Salem events in the summertime, you know, post-COVID in those situations when you can actually congregate. So I don't know if there's any engagement, like spillover ability to bring some things into, say, Walls Marine Park and have that engagement to West Salem. But I can check to see.
There's been a lot of activity down there in the summertime around like the board sports and the, you know, stand-up paddle boarding and kayaking and all that stuff. I didn't know if any of that stuff has been kind of visited.
Yeah, I can check. I know, yeah, downtown they talked about engaging the waterfront more. And that's something, you know, if it's popular as a renewal project, you know, the structural things we could contribute to, you know, obviously we have the boat launch area. But there could be additional recreation. So I think that's a good point. I can check.
I was wondering about the little further, I don't know which direction it would be, west, closer to Capitol Manor. There's the old kayak barn down. Is, you know, figuring out a way to connect that to the Wallace in some sort of a floating style like you see in Bend, or, you know, where they can connect from that.
That's a good point.
Into the, I don't know if there's a plan or.
Yeah, that's, you know, when we've done our renewal plan that advanced to our action plan, we looked at one of the things that came out of it was, you know, engaging the street. Like, we're starting to see the Thursday market, so the whole street plaza kind of idea, festivities, streets. And the other part was connecting to, you know, recreation, the river, and the parks. So that's definitely something that we can look into. So I think that's a good point, and maybe that can be a discussion in one of our other meetings. I'll do some research and see.
It draws a lot of people to a business district, and you know, if you end up putting in some sort of a shuttle that connects Wallace to up above, and you know, you're driving back and forth down Edgewater, looking at all those businesses every single time, and people start to go, "Hey, there's all these different
the area."
I want to go live in this area, and then have this I can see all the time. So.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Okay. Anyone else? Any items for another order?
So while we're on the topic, if you can tell, I think the chat function's off this time. So given that this public meeting, we have to keep the chat record. And we'd include it with the minutes. So if you prefer to have that function live, because I know that people that experience Zoom, they like, I think that we'll have to turn off the chat between each other, because that would be kind of weird to have that as part of the record. So it'd be just a general, you know, if you had a question to the presenter or internally as far as a conversation, you know, it is a nice feature that way if you don't want to have to like verbally speak up and be on video. So we can make that available. You just have to know. Just let me know, maybe this time, if you like having that function live and you're okay with having your, you know, your chat discussion as part of the minutes.
At last meeting, you were going to address possibly something about the trash.
Yeah, so I did follow up with that. Let me bring that up. So I checked with Public Works and they coordinate with ODOT, since the, you know, the bridges are ODOT structure. And so he was saying that they did a cleanup on November 10th, but it's one of those things where they do constant cleanups, right? So I don't know. Let's see. So the 10th, I guess it said that Mark Bechtel is who I reached out to, Public Works. He's kind of been the person to help coordinate with ODOT. And he was just saying that, you know, there's the cleanup. It was clean for some time, and then since campers are starting to return. So it'll probably be another coordination.
Is that a monthly thing?
It could become a monthly thing until another solution is found. So.
And then, is that a? I mean, there's that new project that came out with about collecting trash for cash or whatever it is. Is that being also done in West Salem, or is it citywide, or is it?
I think it's citywide. I'd have to look into it more. I remember reading about it and having conversations about it. My understanding is a citywide effort, but I can look into that.
Any option for adopt that road kind of thing we talked about? If I wanted to adopt that section of highway right
here.
Yeah,
that's a good point. Let me ask them and see if there's something that, maybe having a community, your ownership of a section of area to help with the cleanup effort. I'll check on that.
Thank you.
I'm sure that there's, obviously COVID, but there's also probably security and other things, but let me see what they say about it. See if there's something that I can do that.
Are they going to put more garbage cans down at the waterfront to start collecting, like big garbage dumpsters and, because there seems to, as you walk across our cool Union Street Bridge, there seems to be a growing amount of trash that's going to end up in the river once the flooding levels increase and stuff. Has there been any discussion on that you know about?
I have not heard anything. I can check on it.
Just camping is whatever it is. I mean, people need a place to sleep. I get that, but the trash seems to be increasing.
Yeah. And I know council, the homeless issue has been brought up a lot to council. They have dedicated additional funds to building something. I think that's going to be an ongoing conversation. So as I track it with council, it becomes a topic. They just recently identified funds. I want to say it was like $1.4 million. If you're talking multiple facilities, because there's the discussion about how you treat different types of groups, to be able to, there's a mental health aspect, but then there's also a cleanliness and housing aspect.
And address
how far 1.4 million gets you. So
understand.
I'll track it, and then I can share with the group when it's going to be a conversation with council, if you want to attend and track it.
That's just if there's going to be a spot in West Salem that's going to be that we should know about, or that there's a new billboard coming into West Salem, a new digital board. Was that something that had to pass a board?
That had to get permitted. That went through permitting. Yeah, so I'm sure that it had to be the design code and everything. We have no involvement in it. I did try.
I blame you. No, it's cool enough. Just as long as it's
not a real project.
both those signs, the one on TJ's building and that one, at night they are bright. They're like headlights in your face bright. It's really crazy.
Yeah.
But, okay. That's all my questions. I'm done.
Well, that's excellent stuff. Anyone else? Again, for the good of the order. Okay, I think that's all the business. And with that, we are...
Oh, wait, let me get it from you really quick. Do you want to have the chat function up? Do you want to have that included in the minutes? Do you like it?
Is there downfall? Is there bad?
No, it's just... we share just like minutes. Minutes go out to everyone. Anyone who requests it, they'll just be able to see it. It'll be on the website. I mean, for the most part, it's the same conversation, right? You guys are, I would say, you're decorous.
I think
it's good.
We
so
should totally have that decorum.
Have that live, okay. And I'll include
that. And we'll just be to everyone, right?
Yeah, so it'll just be included. So when you go through the minutes, you'll just see it there. It wouldn't have to be like, did you guys approve the conversation you had at the last meeting? It'll just be as part of the public record, that's all.
I think we should have it, unless someone disagrees.
Okay.
How long does it last for?
Forever. I mean, it'll go off the website, but if someone requests, hey, I want to see what Tyler Jackson said in that chat, January.
No public office. No public office.
Just as long as there's an internet.
There's internet. All right, we'll make sure it works for the next time. I just wanted you guys to be aware.
Okay.
All right.
No further business. We are adjourned. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, have a good holiday.
Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas. Bye.